Hello, I'm Alex Rover from the U.S. Rate Strategy Team, and you're listening to At Any Rate, our global research podcast, where we take a look at the story behind some of the biggest trends, themes, and industries in the markets today. I'm joined today by Matt Josoff, head of fixed income research, and Jay Berry, head of U.S. government security strategy. Our topic today is going to be the Fed's balance sheet, and in particular, its securities holdings and securities purchases. In particular, we want to talk about the case for potentially tapering the pace of securities purchases. Currently, the Fed is buying about $40 billion a month in mortgage-backed securities and about $80 billion a month in Treasury securities. In particular, there's a feeling that maybe the mortgage-backed securities pace could be tapered somewhat, given that the Fed now owns around a third of the outstanding agency securities market. So let me throw this out there. Jay, I think there's been a change in the Fed framework. Does that, you think, in any way impact the Fed's desire to purchase securities?
Alex, I think it does. And I think it makes the case that Fed purchases could persist for much longer than we think. The Fed and Chair Powell divulged this at the Jackson Hole Symposium a couple of weeks ago, finished its 18-month framework review, at which point it adopted flexible average inflation targeting, and really is committing to getting the inflation back to its 2% target. And because it's spent such a long period under its 2% target, committing to inflation actually running above 2% for the meantime. And at the same time, in this framework review, the Fed, while it's still committed to its dual mandate of full employment and stable inflation, it's tweaked the language on employment now and is committed to sort of only addressing shortfalls in employment rather than deviations from norms. So the Fed's definitely dovish here, and we know it's likely to be on hold for a number of years, but it's got limited tools here, especially because it was only able to cut rates in total by about half as much as it has in the past. So now, if you're going to, when it comes to policy rates, skate to where the puck is instead of skate to where the puck is going, that likely means the Fed's on hold for longer at this zero lower bound, but also likely means that it's going to have to continue asset purchases for a longer period of time. In QE3, the Fed did not begin tapering until the unemployment rate was under 7%. And yes, the unemployment rate's been descending rapidly over the last few months. But I think what we do know is that all else equal, it would like to commit to purchases and accommodation for much longer, in particular now that the natural rate of unemployment, or at least the Fed's estimates, are probably a percentage point and a quarter lower now than they were when QE3 began its tapering process back in 2013. So the Fed's framework review, the limited amount of tools that it's got available, the change in the labor markets, and its inability to meet its inflation target all make the case for purchase to continue on. And I think when you look at the sort of consensus from the survey of primary dealers from prior to the July Fed meeting, it seems in both Treasuries and MBS, the median dealer response was for purchases to continue through the end of 2020.
So the theme, I guess, would be larger for longer. And we know that the Treasury is likely going to be issuing significantly more Treasury debt coming into the future. So, Matt, the Fed owns about a third of the MBS market right now. Some people would say that's getting close to being, you know, maybe a little bit too much. Where do you come down on that?
Right, Alex. I think that, you know, you have to kind of put it a little bit in perspective here relative to some previous episodes. So, yeah, it's, you know, their current holdings of just under a third, that's more than what they had under QE1, which is about a quarter of the market when they finally stopped buying. So they owned a quarter of the outstanding mortgage market at that time. And then in QE3, they owned a little over a third at that time at the peak. And now they're a little bit under a third. I'd say that the good news is, you know, while their share could increase a little bit, if you still look at like where net issuance is right now, it's about $40 billion net a month in the market. So with the Fed buying $40 billion right now, you know, that's an equilibrium kind of pace. So their share should kind of stabilize around here. The one thing we just point out is that natural growth kind of slows in the winter for the market. So, you know, their share could increase a little bit during those months when growth is slower. But I think that where they are right now in terms of outstandings is still in line, generally speaking, with the previous QE3 period.
So, Matt, let's talk about the financing market for a minute. The mortgage market, you know, we're seeing the rolls trade quite special. You know, meanwhile, in the past few months, we've seen, you know, an improvement in how the repo market is trading treasuries. How do you feel about the specialness of MBS?
Well, it's clearly become a very special market. And I think without the Fed purchases, you wouldn't see the financing at these types of levels. And there's no question about it. Having said that, I think you could say that, well, that doesn't necessarily mean that the market's totally broken. I think if you look at other indicators like bid-ask spreads, trading volumes, I think that a lot of market participants would suggest that those are actually reasonable in this current environment. There have also been other times in the past where roles have traded special, and it's not like the market wasn't functioning during that period. So I think that the roles right now are not necessarily an indicator that something is broken. I think what could be a concern, though, is if the Fed were to signal that they were going to taper their purchases, because, you know, right now the market's expecting $40 billion a month through the end of the year, if you look at the primary dealer survey. And, you know, the problem is if they were to cut those purchases, not only would that become a little bit of a supply-demand issue in the short term, so if they went from $40 billion to $30 billion net per month, let's just say, but I think the market would start extrapolating that to further reductions down the road. And, you know, I think that could definitely drive some spread widening in the mortgage market. So, you know, the Fed has to be very careful about what it's signaling and what it's doing, obviously. To Jay's point, I think they are trying to run things a little hot right now, meaning err on the side of easier rather than tighter. So I don't think they would want to spook the market with something like that. And then one last point is I just think when you put this in perspective, yeah, if they cut back and tapered, I think it would clearly not be good for spreads. And you could argue they could widen 10 or more basis points, depending on the announcement. But, you know, if you try to compare that versus the taper tantrum, which was a big widening, I think there's a big difference here in that the taper tantrum had 100 basis point sell-off in rates that went along with it. And that's not our forecast right here. So I think that would certainly help on the convexity front. And then the taper tantrum also had a lot of offsides players like REITs who are offsides in duration that exacerbated the problem. So I don't think the market is broken right now, but I think if they were to announce a tapering, clearly that would have an impact.
So I guess, you know, there's a question of maybe where the duration supply is coming. And so if maybe they were to taper at the same time they increase duration buying in treasuries, since that seems to be where new issuance is, Jay, how would that affect the markets?
You know, Alex, I think that would have the impact to further flatten the curve. In our framework for thinking about long-term treasury yields and the slope of the curve at the long end, the size of the Fed's balance sheet matters for both rate levels and curve shape. But I think we know now that the Fed's purchases in this current program that's been going on since March, the average maturity of those purchases has been running under 7 years. Whereas in its last two programs in Operation Twist and QE3, the average maturity of its purchases then were closer to 12 to 13 years. So if the Fed chose to extend the duration of its purchases or increase its purchases and focus them longer out the curve, this should have the impact to bring yields lower at the long end of the curve and flatten the curve further. You know, the one thing I would say, though, is that when you look through the minutes of the last few Fed meetings, the committee, when it studied future policy options, it has conceded that because neutral interest rates are so low, because expectations are so low, and because term premium has declined so much, that QE here is slightly different impact than it has been in the past. At that point, it was aimed at driving rates lower. But right now, it would seem QE in itself is just going to keep rates low rather than to lower them further.
Thanks, Jay. So, Matt, what's our takeaway from this?
Well, overall, we feel that the Fed is going to continue purchasing at the pace they've been going at, which is $40 billion net a month in the mortgage space. You know, you could also look at it historically and just note that of the total assets they're buying, it's only a third in mortgages in QE4 compared to two-thirds in treasuries. And that's the lowest share that we've seen compared to QE1 or QE3. So I think in a desire not to spook the market further, I think the Fed will probably continue through the end of the year.
I think in addition, there's a question how much more we're going to learn locally, Alex. And we know the next Fed meeting is upcoming next week. And certainly the Fed did deliver the results of its framework review a few weeks earlier than we expected. But the order of operations is the Fed has to tackle its guidance next. And it's our base case that we will get some form of enhanced guidance, probably inflation outcome-based guidance at the meeting next week. but we're not really sure if we'll actually get any further clarity on asset purchases until later this year. So if we don't get further enhancement to guidance for some reason, it's very doubtful that we get any changes or clarifying comments on the asset purchase program. So in addition to what Matt said, which is that we expect these purchases to continue at this pace through the end of the year, I think just operationally, the Fed may not be ready to make a change in its language yet with the way it's talking about asset purchases in the statement right now.
Okay, then. Well, thank you, Matt, and thank you, Jay. And thank you for joining us. Stay tuned for more episodes of At Any Rate, J.P. Morgan's Global Research Podcast Series. This communication is provided for information purposes only. Please read J.P. Morgan research reports related to its content for more information, including important disclosures. Copyright 2020 J.P. Morgan Chase & Company. All rights reserved. This episode was recorded on September 8th, 2020.